When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. 16 July, 1945. A fireball. Temperature, 8,430 Kelvin, which is 14,710 degrees Fahrenheit. That is hotter than the surface of the sun. The explosive yield was estimated by Fermi at 10 kilotons. That was incorrect by a factor of two. General Groves, who supervised the Trinity test as the military boss, estimated 15 and 20 kiloton range. Eventually, they settled on 21 kilotons. The exact yield, the explosion spewed dust and other particles, including unfissioned plutonium, into the air, and the fallout spread northeast of Ground Zero. How far? At the time, there was a memo within days of the test, 30 miles wide, extending almost 90 miles northeast of the site. There were medical presence that wanted to know whether it affected the people in the area, and there was one family in a canyon known as a hot canyon. So they tested that family and they watched it. There were burns on the cattle of the family. There were other children in the larger area whom they did not test for some time. It is not true they didn't know about radiation. They learned about it right away. It wasn't embraced. I introduce these facts because Henry Sokolsky, the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, is here to comment not only on the Trinity test, but on the future of nonproliferation. Henry, a very good evening to you. I give the bloody-minded facts about Trinity tests because there were decision makers at the site. Oppenheimer led a team. And in Washington, that would be the president of the United States, Harry Truman, and his counselor, Mr. Burns, formerly of the Supreme Court. All those voices were waiting for the news that Trinity test had been successful. Yes, it had been successful, but that it was the moment to decide that it's not a weapon, that it's self-destruction, that if we turn this into the world and use it on human beings, there is no controlling it. It's 80 years later. Have we controlled it, Henry, in your observation of these many decades watching the story? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Terrific to be on your program again. Well, we've done our best. In two ways, we have controlled it. And then, of course, I'll give the opposite view after this. We relied on it tremendously throughout most of the Cold War to supplement conventional military forces, which we didn't think we had enough money to afford or to build up, and filled the gap with threats of nuclear destruction of various kinds. However, the numbers in our arsenal that are deployed have fallen, you know, from roughly 30,000 to less than 2,000. And, you know, that's a significant control. We also now use precision aiming to substitute non-nuclear weapons for what previously could only be done with nuclear weapons. So in that sense, control. What we haven't done is thought through what would happen in the case of any use. We can get to the first move generally. For example, I think we might use these weapons to create effects to damage electronics. We might use them against command bunkers. They're very hard and maybe remote from cities. The question of what the other team would do that got hit if they had nuclear weapons is not so clear. And what happens from each move on from there is unclear, and I would say potentially uncontrolled. And I think that that still is a problem. It could end very badly. And when you watch movies like Mad Max, you imagine that was, you know, fictional and fanciful, but conceivable. Because if you continue to use them against one another, you might eventually think, well, I'll show them, I'll use it against population. And that is always, always a possibility.
I read further from the assessment of Trinity tests following the test 6 weeks later. Radiation experts corroborated the initial finding of fallout in the 30-mile-wide, 90-mile-long area. However, they also found within a month gamma radiation, this is a quote, gamma radiation was found in measurable but very low intensities in Santa Fe, Las Vegas, Raton, and even in Trinidad, Colorado, 260 miles from zero point. The report concluded, writes the document, that the radiation levels near the ranch house and elsewhere were not high enough to be dangerous. They knew the radiation spread. They knew that there was no controlling it. They knew that using a test in the desert was going to be one result, but using it over a city would be another result. They knew all of this, and they still went forward to use the bomb on human beings. There was a moment, Henry, where they could have said, no, we won't use it on human beings. They chose not to go that way. I understand. I'm not faulting. I'm just saying that was the decision point. Question is, was the genie out of the bottle? Is it a fiction that we've controlled the genie?
I suppose the jury is out, but it's a real question in that I suppose, and I have to look into this, I may be speculating or bloviating more than even speculating, but they did use the weapon twice, but at a much higher altitude, 1,500 feet versus probably 100 or so feet for the first test. And then
Let me fill in that detail. Trinity test was conducted in a desert. No buildings around it.
No, I understand, but let me complete why that 1,500 feet in their minds may have been mitigating in their thinking. The thought would be that the dust and other things would not be scooped up and disseminated because you'd be too high. Now, that turned out not to be quite correct at all, but I think they were trying to juggle a lot of things at the time, not the least of which was, we've got this thing. Are we going to use it or not? And I think the will to use it for a variety of reasons just overcame the scientific movement's arguments against doing so. There were people in that program who said, don't use it. They were pushed aside. Ironically, after they used these two weapons, the scientific movement leadership was more or less in control of our nuclear arms control policy, at least until the Russians exploded one in 49. But we were everywhere. I think that the desire to end that war was so strong, it would be very difficult for them not to pull the trigger.
One more detail before we move to nonproliferation in future after Iran. The details I read about the fireball, that was a surprise to everyone there. they had not prepared for it. There's testimony from people who witnessed it, and I won't read it. I'll just summarize that the heat and the flash were a complete shock. They realized that they were watching something that was not focused. It was an expression of some other reality. They saw that, and they were numbed by it. I understand that would have delayed decision-making, but still, the question remains for me. This is not a weapon, and we'll bring this up to date right now, and we'll talk about this in a moment. There is deployment of gravity bomb atomic weapons to Europe, to Britain, and France and Britain are talking about putting their arsenals together. So in 80 years, Henry, I don't think there's been any sophisticated understanding that it's the debate of whether it's a weapon or not, I think, is not resolved. You've been inside the building. Is it resolved? Is it a weapon?
The short answer is you're on to something. Okay, let's get that agreed to right away. We are now in a position of perceived or real weakness with regard to China and Russia on the conventional front. I mean, certainly, and I've written with others recently about this. I think we talked about it last week. In the Western Pacific, the Chinese now are dominant in the air and sea, and arguably we'll see what their army can do. And luckily, it's never landed anywhere. They stay on the mainland. In Europe, the odd thing is, in militarizing Russia, Putin has succeeded in increasing production and recruitment to the point where I think NATO is very, very nervous about a conventional attack. And against this, they have very little organized on the ready yet. And so they resort to and rely on a nuclear threat, which I don't know is all that credible against conventional strikes. I mean, the idea that we're going to grab and use these things is about as credible as Putin threatening to use them, which, by the way, in 3 years of desperate warfare, he hasn't. Well, we might not either.
Henry Sikorsky is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.